Now, obviously, we see here that these men, Aaron and Hur, were of great importance to the victory of Israel over Amalek. Now, I want you to go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You know, there's an old saying that no man is an island, and really, that is true. And I was thinking about this week, I mentioned it in the bulletin there, about over the years at this assembly, I have always had a great appreciation for those that have been involved in the ministry. And when I say the ministry, I'm not talking about just standing up and teaching. Because every person that attends here, every person that is part of this work, is part of the ministry. Because there's all kind of functions and there's all kind of things that need to be done. And those things all come together to make it possible that we have the opportunity to preach and teach the Word of God, that we have the opportunity to be on the internet, that we have the opportunity to be on TV and on radio and put out CDs and DVDs. All of those things are a result of the faithfulness, not of me, but of people. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 19, we read some words, and they always sadden me when I read these words and think about it. And I've preached on this before, but I want to look at it in a little different light today. Paul says there to the church at Philippi, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man who like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, the things which are Jesus Christ. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you had heard that he had been sick." Now, there's two men here mentioned in the passage. There's Epaphroditus and there's Timothy. And Paul, when he writes this, is imprisoned in Rome. And he is wanting to send somebody back there to Philippi to minister to the church at Philippi. You remember over in Corinthians where Paul talks about being beat with a rod and being shipwrecked and being destitute and all these kind of things. And he concludes that whole statement with this. And he said, besides all of this, talking about all the physical sufferings, he said, the care of all the churches. Paul went about and established churches. And when Paul was in prison, he was concerned that those churches would have problems. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Acts chapter 20, in Acts chapter 20, you really see the heart of the Apostle Paul in relation to those churches that he has established. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is at Ephesus, and he's fixing to leave there. And it's a very sad time for those at Ephesus. As a matter of fact, in Acts 20, verse 27, it says, "They all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." They knew where Paul was going. They knew he was going over to Jerusalem. They knew that ultimately it was probably going to result in his arrest, his imprisonment, and so forth. But earlier in the chapter, Paul says there in verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." In other words, he said, you've got a ministry here. Verse 29, For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Paul knew that there were going to be problems in the local churches that he established. And you know, what's interesting is, is that we still see this pattern that is always continuing, that there's always going to be people who are going to rise up, teach things that are contrary to the doctrine delivered us from the Apostle Paul, and many times it's simply because they want to draw away followers unto themselves. He said in verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." So when Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he said, back in chapter 2, he said, "I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort and know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Now, those verses right there are sad, and yet it really draws a picture for us today when we realize that here the Apostle Paul has been ministering probably around 30 to 35 years when he writes this letter to Philippi. He had no man that he could send back to Philippi other than Timotheus and Epaphroditus after all those years of ministering. You know what that tells me, folks? That tells me that the masses is not where the answer is. Their religion grows, but listen, when you stand for the truth, when you follow Paul, as these men had done, we're not promised great numbers. I imagine Paul would have been thrilled to have an assembly like this to be able to speak to this many people. And yet we look at it and think, well, what's wrong? Well, our other people look at it and say, well, why is your, if the Lord's blessing, why is the group so small? Well, I want you to notice some things about, not necessarily that, but about what our responsibility is in the ministry that God has allowed us to be a part of. Two men who were helpers. And these men really are examples of what we ought to be. First of all, apparently, these two men were the only ones at that time that Paul had that were like-minded. He said, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." That is, other than Timothy and Epaphroditus. These men are down in verse 25. He said, "I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier." That's an interesting comment, isn't it? A fellow soldier. Paul many times equates the ministry in that of warfare. He said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." To Timothy, he said that to be a good soldier. And Paul calls Epaphroditus a fellow soldier. And he says that they are to be like-minded. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 10. We know that Timothy was a young man. And Paul, knowing this group over at Corinth, he writes to them, says, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do." Brother Moore used to always say that it was fascinating in the Bible that when Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, "When Timothy comes, be nice to him." He wrote to Titus and said, "When you go over there, be nice to them." Titus was a older gentleman, he was a little more seasoned. And you see that when Paul writes to him over in the book of Titus. But the fact is that these two men, Paul says, were like-minded. Now I believe that that is of utmost importance if we're going to be of value to the ministry. Number one, we need to be like-minded with each other. But more than that, we need to be like-minded with God Almighty and His Word. Well, you see, our mind needs to be lined up with what the Apostle Paul said here in Philippians chapter 3, for example, over in verse 17. He said, "Brethren, be followers together of me." You see, the reason today that there is so much division and so forth is because of the fact that people do not do as Paul instructed them to do in rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, that's not to say that, obviously, that we're the only people that are right. There are multitudes of people that believe the Word of God and preach the Word of God, preach the gospel of the grace of God. But listen, if we want to function as God desires for us to function, then we're going to have to be like-minded with the Apostle Paul. Because after all, Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Said in Romans chapter 11 that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. Romans 15, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, but Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 4, he said, "Be ye followers of me." 1 Corinthians 11, "Be ye followers of me." Paul wrote Romans through Philemon in your Bible. 13 books, and they're sandwiched right in between Acts and Hebrews. And in those 13 epistles, we find the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. And not only that, we find the gospel that we are to preach. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now, there's a couple of examples that I always use. Go back to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. When we read the Gospels, we have to keep in mind that Jesus Christ is training 12 men, and he's training them to preach the gospel of the kingdom after he's departed. That good news of the kingdom. He said he was going to take that kingdom away from the Israel and give it to the little flock. And so that's what Peter and James and John are doing over there in the book of Acts. But in Matthew chapter 19, during the ministry of Jesus Christ upon the earth, he says there in verse 16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep his commandments. He saith unto them, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith to him, All these things that I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Now listen, folks, the majority of the religious world today says that they believe that we ought to follow the words of Jesus. Well, come on, I just read you there the words of Jesus. A man came to Jesus and said, What must I do to have eternal life? And he said, Keep the commandments. Well, then, can you be like-minded with the Apostle Paul when Paul said in Romans chapter 6, or Romans chapter 7, verse 6, that we're not under the law, and be like-minded with Jesus Christ and what he preached in Matthew 19? No, you can't. There was nothing wrong with what Christ preached. It just wasn't preached to us. It was a message for Israel that included not only the keeping of the law, but also to sell what you have. So you know what you find over in Acts 2, 3, 4, and 5? They're selling what they have.
Tell us who that guy was who was not.
Pardon?
Tell us
who that guy was who was not. He's talking to the man that in the passage there, the rich young ruler.
Was he Israel?
He is of Israel. And he was not a Gentile. Now there was Gentiles saved over there, but they were not Gentiles like you and I. They blessed Israel. The fact is that Jesus Christ is speaking words that are true, and every word of it was true, but it was never written to us, Gentiles. Look over in Acts 2:38. In Acts 2:38. So we've got to be like-minded with Paul. Not with Jesus Christ's message of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Acts 2:38, Peter's preaching. Or verse 37, "When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them," who's he talking to? "Ye men of Israel. Peter said unto them," Israel, "repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Look over in Acts chapter 16. In Acts 16. In Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul is in prison at Philippi. He says there in verse 30, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is the Philippian jailer. We're just cutting in there for time's sake. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Now, isn't that amazing that we just read three verses of Scripture, or three passages of Scripture. In one, a man asked, "What I have to do to have eternal life?" And Christ said, "Keep the commandments and go and sell what you have and give alms to the poor." The second passage, Peter is asked, when he's preaching a murder indictment to Israel, "What must we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Paul is asked in Acts chapter 16, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." In other words, if your house believes, they also be saved. Now, folks, don't you see from those passages right there how confusing it is to people today when they go through the Bible and they don't distinguish between the message given to Israel and the message given to the church? I mean, how are you going to do all three of those? Well, there are groups that say, you want to be saved by grace, repent of your sins, be baptized, confess your sins, and you can be saved by grace. Well, you can't do that. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, "If by grace it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace." You see, to be like-minded with the Apostle Paul is to preach the same gospel that Paul preached. And by the way, that is first, primary, foremost, and of the most importance of everything else. The reason for rightly dividing the word of truth is so that we can show people how they're saved today in this present dispensation. Because, listen, you can't show a person how to be saved today by the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Should we read those books? Certainly. All scriptures give inspiration of God. But the truth is that the gospel that we preach was the gospel committed unto the Apostle Paul. In Acts 20, he said his ministry was what? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation. Not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So to be like-minded with Paul is to preach the same gospel. It's also to teach the same doctrine. Brother Mark was talking about this morning prayer in Sunday school. And that's one of the most misunderstood doctrines in the church today, the doctrine of prayer. Because most people are taught, as he pointed out, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened to you. We don't have that promise with prayer. Are we told to pray? Absolutely. We're told to pray without ceasing. We're told what to pray for and how to pray. We're told that the Spirit also maketh intercession for us. But what we understand is, when we are like-minded with Paul, is that we aren't guaranteed a answer to our prayer, as were the disciples in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 18, when he said, "If any two of you agree on touching this, ye shall have it." That's not our promises. To be like-minded with the Apostle Paul is to understand the doctrinal differences in the Bible. And you see, that's the reason that Paul didn't have anybody else that he could send. He had no men who were like-minded. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now here's the unity. "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." There's the unity There's the like-mindedness we're to have with our apostle, the Apostle Paul. But not only did he say that they were to be like-minded. Look back there in Philippians chapter 2 again. Philippians chapter 2. What was the other problem? In Philippians chapter 2 in verse 20, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. What was the problem? Verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. All do what? They seek their own. You see, folks, that's one of the greatest hindrances that we all face as far as living for the Lord, serving the Lord, being an ambassador, and ministering the gospel of the grace of God. We seek our own. Notice in the illustration of this over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm sure you're familiar with this. Now, he mentions here Demas. And we don't know exactly what the reference is here when he says he loved the present world. But in 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, he said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Paul is writing to Timothy from prison. Now notice what he says. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now, as I said, we don't know what Paul is referring to when he says, having loved this present world. But what we do know is whatever it was more important to Demas than standing with Paul. Because he departed, he's forsaken me, he said, having loved this present world. In other words, he sought his own. Look back in Philippians chapter 3 again. In Philippians chapter 3. You see, if you want to be like-minded with the Apostle Paul, you're going to have to seek those things which are Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 18. Well, we read verse 17. Let's read it again. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as we have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Notice, who mind earthly things. What Demas love? Having loved this present world. There are those that reject the message of the Apostle Paul because of their love for earthly things. There are those that are saved and believe the word rightly divided. And there are things that become more important to them than the Word of God, than the ministry, than their ambassadorship that we have in Christ Jesus. You see, we have to continually guard against the things that would become more important to us than the Word of God rightly divided, the gospel of our salvation, and that could include any number of things. He said, they all seek their own, not the things that are Christ. All seek their own. Not the things which are Jesus Christ. Well, what are the things of Jesus Christ? I would say they would be those things which are heavenly. Look in verse 20 of Philippians 3. For our conversation is where? In heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So to be like-minded with Paul is to teach the same doctrine. It's to preach the same gospel. It is to seek the welfare of the ministry, not our own. To seek the welfare of others, not our own. All seek their own. Look over in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Look up in verse 10. "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." Now notice what their motive was. And you know, folks, that's really what it's all about. What is our motive? Is it to do what we do for Christ's sake, or is it do it for self? Are we doing it for Christ's sake, or are we doing it for just because of our family? Well, notice what he said. "There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not." Why? "For filthy lucre's sake." Now, we know then what the problem was here. Those that were teaching the false doctrine were doing it for money. And, you know, we can hound on people all we want to and talk about those out there and those over here that are doing what they're doing for us. But why are we doing what we're doing? What is our motive? We are ambassadors for Christ. Well, the Bible says that the love of Christ constraineth us. And that is not our love for Him. That's His love for us. You see, the constraining, the motivating factor for us doing what we do for Christ's sake always should be what Christ did for us. Not that we can in any way ever repay Him back or that kind of thing. But listen, the Bible says you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 4, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own." Look back in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Probably one of the most prominent characteristics of mankind today that is contrary to God is we are all so selfish, self-centered, want what we want, desire what we want. In Romans 15, Paul addresses this when he says in verse 1, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification." Now here's the example. "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." If Jesus Christ had taken the same attitude toward us that we take toward what we're to be doing for him, he had never gone to that cross. He gave up his own will. He pleased not himself. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And so the love of Christ constraineth us. We're to be like-minded. We're not to seek our own. And then we're to be servants. Look in verse 20, or Philippians chapter 2 again. Philippians 2. Verse 22, talking about Timothy, "You know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel." You know, servitude always ties back to labor, work. That's why Paul calls it the work of the ministry. He said, "We are laborers together with God." We've got a ministry out there. We've got an ambassadorship. We're his messenger. We're his minister. He says right here that he has served with me in the gospel. He says about Epaphroditus, "My brother and companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants." Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Passage we read quite frequently here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. You see, back in chapter 4, verse 1, he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What is the ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God bid beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You see, folks, as David stood out there and faced Goliath, and his brother said, you can't go, you've not proved this armor. David said, is there not a cause? There is a cause. The cause is the cause of Christ, the ministry of rightly dividing the word of truth, the ministry of making all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, the ministry of making known the gospel of the grace of God. And we're involved in that, and we have a responsibility in that. And so we need to be like-minded. We need to be seeking the betterment of others and not our own. We need to be servants for Christ's sake. And we need to be messengers and ministers of this great and glorious gospel that Jesus Christ committed to the Apostle Paul. And Paul preached unto us so that we could know that our sins are forgiven, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. We are his ambassadors with this ministry of reconciliation. And I'm very thankful, as I said before, many times when people sit out in a congregation or they're part of the congregation, and they come and they listen, and sometimes people feel, I've had people tell me, you know, I just feel like I need to do more. Well, you see, the more, many times, simply is that what we need to be doing is to open our mouth and make known the truth to people. Be a witness and testimony. It might be inviting somebody to the fellowship and even going by and picking them up if they need a ride. Exposing them in any way you can to the truth of the Word of God, right about it, to the gospel of the grace of God, seeing we have this ministry. There are some people that if you told them they had to stand up here and try to teach a message or a lesson, they would just, I mean, the fear would be such and so great they'd just not be able to do it. There's some people that just have a hard time with God. But listen, there's something that everybody can do for the sake of the ministry. We are laborers together with God. We are His husbandry. We are His building. And what we do, it's not to try to somehow make ourselves acceptable to God. What we do is not to get saved, but because we already are saved. We have this ministry. We have this message. And we need to be helpers. Just like those men held up Moses' arms, Aaron and Hur, held up his arms. And when he did, they were victorious. And when they let down, Amalek prevailed. The ministry will go forward as people who are part of it do their part to make known the truth of the Word of God and the gospel of the grace of God. I hope that if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you understand through the things I've said right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that you can be saved simply by trusting Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, and you've been on the sidelines, then get in the race. Be a good soldier. Be one that can be counted on to do for Christ's sake. Not for the church, not for me, not for other people, but for Christ's sake. Because the ministry is great. The blessings are ours in Christ Jesus. We already have those. We're not doing what we don't perform. We don't do what we do to find favor with God in any shape, form, or fashion. The love of Christ constraineth us. I hope it'll constrain you. And I hope it'll constrain me to do what we need to do for Christ's sake. Would you stand with me for prayer?